Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. We are your people dashboard company, helping all you HR leaders at small and medium companies that are way too busy to be pulling spreadsheets from all your different systems to tell a data-driven story at your company. Why do you want to do that? You pull a spreadsheet from your HRIS, from your ATS, from your engagement platform, from your performance platform. People are constantly asking you questions about headcount, recruiting pipeline, what's our engagement rate, what does our turnover look like, and you're scrambling around trying to figure that out, and you're always thinking it has to be a better way. Well, now there is. Please go to employeecycle.com to check out how our people dashboard has pre-built API connectors to the most widely used and popular systems for companies your size. Bamboo HR, Namely, Zenefit, Sapling, Greenhouse, ADP, TriNet, 15.5, Office5, Glassdoor, you name it. We connect all your systems to pull all your data into one real-time people dashboard so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your HR metrics and analytics in one place. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a very special guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Lisa Anderson. She's the CHRO at SEV1 Tech. And today we're going to discuss starting in a new HR role during a crisis. Lisa, welcome to the podcast.
Yay.
Welcome.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for wanting to be here.
Absolutely. Very excited.
Great. And today is your very first podcast, so I am super, super honored and humbled to be the first podcast that you're going to grace your presence on. That makes me super excited.
They can't take it easy on me now.
Oh, sure, sure. If you've ever listened to this show, you know that this is fun, this is casual. We're just here to have a great time in the spirit of uplifting the HR community. But Lisa, we want to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yes. So I started my HR career over 25 years ago and started my HR career as a recruiter and eventually moved over to become a generalist. Now they call it an HR business partner. And my unique story is that I moved up the ladder. So from a manager to a director, to a vice president, and to now a chief human resource officer. I love the field of HR, love the learning, love growing and developing, love working with the employees, love working with businesses and how to move their people strategies forward. I've been in the field for over 25 years.
That's awesome. And if you could give us a quick background summary about SEV1 Tech, where's the company based? How many employees? What does your company do?
Yes, sure. So SEV1 Tech, we are a technology company. We are a government contractor. We have close to 600 employees. The company has been in business. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. And our we call him our chief coach, who is our CEO, Bob Lofell. An amazing leader that has just really grown the organization over the 10 years. And so we just acquired another company. And so from an HR perspective, you know, we're merging and integrating systems and culture and all that good stuff that comes with mergers and acquisitions. So it's been a fun ride, and I am new to the ride. You know, I just arrived with the organization in February, 2 weeks. I think I was in the office 10 days before the pandemic really hit. So it's been interesting. My onboarding experience has been interesting coming on board in late February.
Thanks for that. So today we're discussing starting in a new HR role during a crisis. Now, we know starting in any executive role can be tough in the best of times. So can you walk us through the first couple weeks of you being onboarded and then trying to learn your job, get accustomed and acclimated to the culture, really understand what this is going on, and then boom, COVID-19 hits, sends everyone home, and you're in charge of making sure that everyone makes it through from an employee and workforce perspective?
Yes.
What did that look like?
So as you mentioned, Bruce, so yeah, I started with the organization the last week of February. I was in the office 10 days, still, you know, trying to figure out where things were, just trying to get the lay of the land. And then the world just stopped moving at that point, and everybody sort of went home and started working from home. So, you know, the great news is that I inherited a wonderful HR team. And so here I am, you know, just learning and trying to learn, you know, where our employees were, you know, all over the world, you know, just where folks sat. And if it wasn't for my HR team that, you know, immediately, you know, helped me get acclimated to where we have employees, what are we doing? And then, of course, culture plays a big piece in this, because when the pandemic happened, our CEO immediately said, wait a minute, you know, we're in a pandemic. The first thing we need to do is set up weekly town hall meetings with our employees. We have employees all over the world. So communication was a big key to that. And so for 9 weeks straight, we did a weekly town hall meeting every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, because, again, we had employees in all time zones. And our employees would, dial in or come in live to that session, and they were able to hear from our CEO directly on the state of the company, what's going on with our contracts, what's going on with our customers, how can we help employees during this difficult time. And it was just, amazing to see that, again, as a newbie coming on into an organization. And of course, you know, as the CHRO, I'm asking 1,000 questions. Okay, like, you know, here's our strat, you know, what is our strategy for this? Bob, can you help me with this? I'm not sure where folks are. And he was just so opening arms to just welcome me into the fold as the new CHRO, being there for 10 days. So it was quite an experience. But, you know, I tell people that's where you see culture come to life, because our CEO, unbeknownst to any of us on our executive team, secured 13,000 masks, N95 and surgical masks. And he said, look, on one of our leadership meetings, he said, I have 13,000 masks coming. When they arrive, we are going to ship a shipment of masks to every one of our 583 employees. And he wanted to ensure that every employee had a set of masks that they could use, 9 to 15 masks for them and their families. And this was, of course, in the height of COVID, in March. When everybody was, you know, looking for masks. And we did just that. Every employee got a shipment of masks mailed, FedExed to their homes. We didn't care about the costs, FedEx shipping costs. That's when I was like, wow, okay, here's culture at its finest, right? So the empathy and the compassion and really caring about our employees, that next town hall meeting when he made that announcement, look, we got masks coming to your homes. Please use them. Your family, please give them to your family members to use. Our employees were just so grateful and thankful that the company would do that on their behalf. So that's just one example of, when you're in that crisis pandemic mode, you know, how the culture sort of really expresses itself.
A lot of the other HR leaders that I've interviewed specifically those who spoke about how they helped their workforce and company navigate through the crisis, they all had the luxury of already having the trust and the partnership and the relationship with a lot of the managers to be able to quickly get things in place. And they already had built up a certain amount of credibility with the employees for them to believe that the HR person could deliver on whatever it was, whether it's shipping standing desk or sending people food when they need it or helping people get their logins and connecting them with IT, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You didn't have that because you were new and no one knew who you were. So how were you able to step in to one of the most important roles during this crisis, which is helping all the employees survive through this and make it through? How were you able to quickly gain the trust of the employees so they knew that whatever you were telling them was in their best interest?
Yes, that's a great question. The way that I was able to do that, connection and building relationships, that's, probably connection is definitely one of my top values. And building relationships is a strength that I had. And so I was able to do that just for one, just bringing some expertise to the table of what I've experienced in other organizations. So my big thing was asking questions and sharing knowledge and letting my colleagues know, look, we're all on the same team. And you know, my colleagues were great because, they knew I was new. And I'm coming from a place of curiosity. And I just want to share, hey, have we ever thought of this? This is something that other organizations are doing or, experiences that I've had at other organizations. And the great thing is that the team was very open in listening and saying, wow, OK, Lisa, we hadn't thought about that. So maybe we can take a look at that strategy or pivot. And they were so welcoming in that. And then on the flip side, me listening, not doing all the talking, but listening so I can get my arms around the culture and what things they've done in the past and why things were the way that they were. So that was probably the biggest two areas for me trying to build credibility with the new team and with employees. I am the first one to say, hey, I'm not sure. I may not have the answer, but let me walk away and come back with an answer. And then I, leverage my team to say, hey, guys, what do you guys think about this? Hey, give me the history. Let me share a different perspective since I'm new coming in. And so, everybody was great in that. And now that I'm 6 months in, that's the way that I was able to build the credibility because, it's a running joke. I had to remind my CEO, like, okay, Bob, I've only been here 30 days. And he's like, oh, that's right. You just feel like you're already part of the team. And I have to remind him, okay, Bob, I've only been here 60 days. And he's like, oh, that's right. You just feel like you've been with us longer. And so, I really appreciate, the opening and the welcoming of me coming in as the new CHRO and the team, listening to my ideas and then me listening to them as well. So I think that's the long answer to that, to that building credibility piece. But it is the truth on how I was able to do that in the midst of a pandemic.
I appreciate that. And so despite all the research and funny news segments about people getting divorces because of COVID, on the flip side, there have been a lot of relationships totally accelerated because maybe you were dating for a little bit, but then you ended up moving in with this person or spending so much time with this person because of COVID, and there was no one else to spend time with, that you may have skipped a bunch of other steps mm-hmm. that a traditional relationship would have went through. So I'm curious, because there was a crisis and you had to get into go mode from day one, and the company had to accept a lot of the things that you were bringing to the table and work with you and allow you to just jump in and try to be as proactive as possible. Do you think that this accelerated a lot of that trust and credibility? And did you, I guess, looking back, are there steps that you would have thought you would have taken to get certain things done that unintentionally you were able to skip because of the crisis?
Yes. So that's great. A great question, because there is some truth to that. When you're in a crisis mode, even though, I'm bringing that expertise to the table as a professional, as an HR professional, you still have to deliver. Right. So there is no excuse. Right. In the middle of a pandemic. Yes, I didn't know, you know, where the majority of our employees, you know, were across the country. But as a professional, that's my role to find that out and to leverage my resources. Right. So there's still a level of credibility and performance that's needed. That's, you know, in a high stress environment. And so as a leader, you know, unfortunately, in crisis situations, you either perform or you could be in a situation where you fail because you are overwhelmed by the situation and the circumstances. And for me, that's where my experience, it helped me 100% with this kind of a crisis. Even though I've never been in a pandemic, a health crisis like we're in today, I've had experiences with other crises, right? Crises. And so just having that level of calmness to say, okay, you know, this is a pandemic, but I've had other crises. You know, what do we do when, you know, what's step one, two, and three? And so that experience helped me quite a bit, you know, 10 days into a new company, a new role, and trying to build credibility in the middle of a pandemic that we've never seen before. So yes, I did skip a lot of the steps. I call it onboarding by, you know, water hose, you know, it coming at you at one time, you know, drinking out of a water hose. But, you know, it's like, okay, Lisa, you know, you've done this before. The situation look a little different. But, you know, from an HR perspective and taking care of the people and the people strategy, you know, where do we go from here? And just, you know, helping the CEO with that. And even though, you know, and asking the questions, you know, hey, you know, do we have this? Do we have that in place? Okay, you know, from a benefit perspective, let us get these things in place. You know, we had to temporarily furlough a lot of employees when we first, you know, went into COVID because our government customers were furloughed. And so, okay, well, what does that look like for our employees? And let's make sure we take care of our employees through that situation. And then, you know, we have to bring them off of furlough because now our customers are working again. So what does that look like? How do we bring our employees back into the fold? So those are the things, you know, that experience, you know, come into play because, you know, I've unfortunately had to furlough employees when we had government shutdowns in previous years. So that previous experience immediately kicked in for me. Like, okay, here are the top three things we need to really make sure we're doing to make sure we take care of our employees. So, it's very, very interesting. And now, you know, sitting here in late August, now a lot of other HR professionals are probably having the same conversations we're having today, which is now, how do we return back to the workplace safely? I know, you know, many organizations, a lot of my colleagues that I speak with, you know, a lot of us are looking at that. You know, do we return to work? And if we return to work, how do we do that safely? And so my organization, just like others, are having those conversations. And right now we are in phase one of our return, which we have a small pilot group that has returned into the workplace. And, you know, we're the pilot group that's testing some things out before we decide to bring in more employees or allow more employees to return.
We hope you definitely have a safe return for everyone, since I know this is a very complex solution that you'll need to have in order to make sure that you're checking all the boxes. But I want to end this on an actionable note. And you spoke a lot about experience. So I would like to, you know, end the interview with you telling the audience, if you are, as you mentioned, jumping into something, drinking from a fire hose, you're jumping into a new role or anything in life where there's a crisis and you have to jump in to try to solve it, what's the mindset that you think a person should have? And what's the mindset that you had as you understood that you had barely, probably didn't even know where all the bathrooms in the office were yet?
Right.
You go from, oh, where's the bathroom? Where's the kitchen? To, oh, now let me take care of this 600 employee workforce through this, through the, one of the worst crises that has ever happened. So what's the mindset that you need to have as you're going through this to make sure that you're confident enough to make the best decisions with the least amount of information possible, but also you're humble enough to know that you don't have all the information? How do you manage those two, knowing that you haven't even been in the role for that long?
Right. Oh, yes. So I can share my mindset, you know, going into this sort of situation. I had a mindset of curiosity when I came in, right? Like, you know, the curiosity in the sense of really asking questions and me genuinely wanting to know the answers so I can try to help with solutioning, right? So for me, I didn't know what I didn't know about the organization and the culture 10 days in. And so the fortunate thing is that the culture supported that curiosity. And, you know, didn't have a reaction like, well, why is she asking so many questions? So I do think, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, the leadership team was like, you know, had sympathy and empathy, like, okay, she's brand new. And yes, we want to help her. So yes, you know, she's asking some great questions. And they were very, you know, forefront about giving me answers so I can help to solution, right? So curiosity is definitely one. Listening, you know, I'm not coming into organizations thinking that I have all the answers when I don't, you know. So, yes, I have a lot of HR knowledge and experience, but I don't have all the answers for SEV1 Tech 10 days in. So, you know, I think that humble spirit of, you know, wow, you know, let me be quiet, stop talking, and listen to, you know, what folks are saying. And that way I'm learning the organization and the culture as well. So I'm not the know-it-all coming in. And so that, you know, definitely helped me with building the relationships. You know, let me listen to what's happening and see the movement in the organization and then figure out where I can contribute based on my knowledge.
Lisa, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for really diving into this. It's interesting. You're not the first HR person that I've spoken to who started either right before or during the crisis, but you're definitely the first one that I've interviewed about this topic. So I really appreciate you going into this because this really shows how strong of a person you are, but then also how having HR experience from previous companies can help you with the current company, regardless of what you're going through. So thanks so much for the awesome interview. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you. And you totally nailed your first podcast.
All right.
Shout out to Lisa.
Now I have experience in podcasting.
Now you are an official podcaster.
That's great. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Yeah, so where can people find you and SEV1 Tech online?
Sure. So we are definitely, I know a lot of the audience may be on LinkedIn. So please check out our LinkedIn page because we're doing a lot of work. We do a lot of our stories on LinkedIn. But of course, our website, sev1tech.com. And I am also on LinkedIn. So please would love to connect with folks. And especially if I can share any experiences or help anybody that may be going through some of the same things that we're going through at Sev1Tech. So definitely please reach out. I love connecting with folks on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all that info and contact information in the show notes. So if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you want to leave us a rating. Also, if this is the first time that you've ever listened to the Employee Cycle Podcast and you came here because you're either already a huge super fan of Lisa and you wanted to hear whatever that she wanted to talk about, or you thought that this topic was compelling, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.